Welcome to Native America Calling from Studio 49 in Albuquerque. I'm Tara Gatewood. Where certain students can use the bathroom is the subject of a national debate. President Donald Trump rescinded guidelines that said transgender students can use whichever restroom they feel comfortable using, which doesn't always align with the gender on their birth certificate. How do you hope this debate pans out? Is there a need to have more dialogue on Native transgender issues in your tribe? Join us for this discussion right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Attorneys for the Standing Rock and Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe say the legal battle has just begun against the Dakota Access Pipeline. This after a federal judge Tuesday rejected the tribe's request to stop the project. A preliminary injunction claimed the pipeline burdens tribal religious freedom by running under sacred waters in North Dakota. Attorneys say tribal leaders are disappointed by the ruling and have not decided on an appeal. Meanwhile, a motion before the court challenges the legality of the pipeline and includes claims that the Trump administration's actions circumvents law and ignores treaty rights. Shortly after taking office, President Trump moved to expedite the project. Jan Hosselman, Earth Justice attorney for the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, says the Trump administration's issuance of the easement for the pipeline to cross Lake Oahe violates law.
Digging a 30-inch crude oil pipeline underneath a waterway that serves 17 million people. It is outrageous that this would not be the kind of thing that gets a full environmental impact statement.
Oil could flow in the pipeline as early as next week, according to construction updates provided to the court. Trump and builders of the pipeline say it creates jobs and aids in U.S. energy independence. As of Tuesday, no hearing had been scheduled on the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's motion. News reports, including by the Washington Post, indicate that the Trump administration's proposed cuts to the Environmental Protection Agency could total $2 billion, putting 3,000 people out of work. In Alaska, 18 Southeast tribes, which use EPA's Indian General Assistance Program, may see cuts in funding as a result. President Trump's proposal, intended to boost the defense budget, would slash the program's funding by 29%, down from $65 million. According to an EPA press release, Region 10, which includes Alaska, received $32 million for the program in 2016. Those funds go toward tribal projects such as stream restoration, solid waste disposal, and ocean acidification. Heidelberg Cooperative Association environmental coordinator Anthony Christensen says about four jobs within his tribe could be directly impacted by such cuts. Christensen, who's also in charge of obtaining additional grants for the tribe, says 10 to 15 seasonal jobs could also be lost.
That's my job. So you take me out of the equation. That puts us in a tough position because I'm core to six other grants through the capacity building, and if I'm unable to do that, then the domino effect starts.
Changes in Trump's budget still could be made. The EPA declined to comment for this story. The St. Regis Mohawk Tribe has started a company to offer high-speed internet to all residents on its territory. And now it's growing to provide broadband to neighboring areas in upstate New York. North Country Public Radio's David Summerstein reports.
Until a couple of years ago, the Akwesasne Mohawks in northern New York were stuck with dial-up to access the internet. That changed when the tribally owned Mohawk networks ran fiber throughout the reservation. But Chief Ron LaFrance says many neighboring areas remained without broadband, and the tribe saw an opportunity.
In this day and age, there should be no community that should not have access to high-speed internet, better phone system. So it just made sense for us to expand out into the surrounding communities.
Mohawk networks decided to use Wi-Fi signals from towers to reach these areas instead of fiber because it's a cheaper alternative. The company recently won a $6 million state grant to help serve more than 3,500 homes in nearby Lewis County. The tribe says another county is interested in signing on as well. High-speed packages start at $45 a month. Mohawk chiefs say they hope profits from the service will eventually rival casino revenues to bolster the tribal economy. For National Native News, I'm David Summerstein in Canton, New York.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation. with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by Utah Dene Bekea. Thank you, President Obama, for proclaiming Bears Ears a national monument, protecting ancestral lands, ensuring our people will continue to hunt, collect firewood and herbs, and hold ceremonies. Learn more at protectbearsears.org. When you file online for your PFD, every Alaskan can support great causes like National Native News. Just select KNBA-FM Kewaunik Broadcast Corporation. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. President Donald Trump rescinded guidelines for schools on transgender bathroom use, revising an earlier debate on the topic. Former President Barack Obama originally weighed into the Title IX guideline, saying transgender students can use whichever bathroom they feel is most appropriate. Political leaders, states, and organizations are weighing in on the debate. What about in our tribal nations? Where do you stand on this bathroom debate? We can weigh in, or we want you to weigh in, by calling 1-800-99-NATIVE. And should the bathroom you use match how you identify, like transgender, or should you enter where it lines up with what it says on your birth certificate? Join us. The number is also 1-800-996-2848. And now to join us from Washington, D.C. is Maddie Jim. She's an HIV prevention and support coordinator for the First Nations Community Health Source and a board member of the Transgender Resource Center of New Mexico. She's Dene, and it's our pleasure to welcome her to the hour. Maddie, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me. And just a small correction, I am from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and originally from San Augustine. I'm just visiting D.C. for the moment.
Okay, good deal. Great place to visit and do a lot of work. Maddie, as we talk about this, and last year we heard a lot on the debate of being able to use certain bathrooms, and now we're back on it. It has been revived by the current administration. I just want to get your take on how you feel all of this connects directly to our tribal nations, even when it's a national debate. Go ahead.
I think this is going to be an ongoing issue, depending on the situation and where we're from. With tribal communities, I know that we have like 566 tribes in this nation. So looking at our tribal laws and looking at the tribal communities and what they implement and how they look at it, I think what it comes down ultimately is to the person who's using the restroom. So if somebody who is transgender and who is a youth, who feels that they were born, like for me, I knew at age 4 that I was born in the wrong body. And if you have a youth feeling that they were born in the wrong body and they want to go use the restroom that they feel that they are, I feel that they should be allowed to. But a lot of times people don't feel that way because people concentrate more of what's between the legs rather than what's between the ears. So with a lot of the work that's being done around trans issues, I think this is just one of the complex issues that we talk about, the one being the bathroom issue and also looking at other cofactors that affect our community, such as like suicide or substance use or sex work or other health issues within our communities.
And so I'm glad you mentioned youth, because a lot of this does center on a case with a young person. And when you're young, you have a lot coming at you, you know, especially in school. Of course, the work is a challenge and all of the extra things that come at you and just understanding your place in the world. And so when you add this extra layer on, is there anything more you'd like to say, Maddie, about seeing that this debate is exploding because of young people and in the schools?
I think a lot more of the younger generation are starting to really look at identity and not just being transgender, but also gender nonconforming or even gender variant. when identifying and wanting to use the restroom of their choice is a big deal. And you are right that as youth, there's a lot of complex things that are thrown on us, and this one issue of using the restroom could affect a person's mentality or how they feel about themselves. Like if you're told you can't go to the boys' restroom, or if you're told not to go to the girls' restroom because of who you are, and told to go to the nurse's restroom or designated a certain restroom, that goes back to our segregation era. So we're segregating where they should go or where we should be sent to, and also labels a person, and everybody may know for the people who don't know. So I think it's very complex. This issue is very complex in how we approach it. And I know there are people who are going to disagree with like what I say. And it comes down to ultimately using the restroom of who you feel that you should use the restroom, because people are going there just to pee or to use the number two like everybody else. But people have this perception that people are going to be peeking through holes or peeking through underneath the stalls, which doesn't happen. I myself, as a trans woman, use a woman's restroom, and I use it. I go pee, I go use the number two, I wash my hands, and I walk out. So having to go into the woman's restroom, I feel more comfortable because I live as a woman. And then also, if I were to be told to go to the men's restroom, just because of my appearance and looking like a woman, just imagine the violence that could happen or the mean things that could be said about me. And that could play a big part in triggering my traumas of growing up and dealing with those issues.
And Maddie, do we need to hear more stories? Do you feel that people don't understand just what you explained, that we need to talk about this more? So when these decisions are made, they're really understanding what kind of situation they're putting people in. Do you think more dialogue needs to happen? And if you do, call in, tell us about it, 1-800-996-2848. Maddie, go ahead.
Yes, a lot of dialogue still needs to be done. A lot of education still needs to be done, especially within our tribal communities. Even though we do like transgender 101 trainings with service providers, I think it needs to expand a lot more, especially within tribal communities or communities in general, going to school or going to different places and talking about transgender issues or talking about transgender identity. Because a lot of times, from what we hear in trainings that we do, is that people have this perception of trans communities, and sometimes it's in a negative context. As to when we do education, we give the information from a teaching perspective where people will think about what we talk about and dispel some of the myths or dispel some of the misinformation that people have about transgender populations, like the stereotypes and stigmas that are put upon us. And looking at like gender identity, and then also looking at sexual orientation, looking at sex assigned at birth, and giving all the definitions around what we talk about. And actually the education coming from the community, coming from the trans community, gives it more of an impact, because the person from the community is giving the education to people who are not aware of the people from the transgender community. So I think even though we provide services in educating our communities, that we need to do a lot more and give education to overall populations, or even go to tribal communities and give like town hall presentations or have people gather and ask questions and give testimony of how trans individuals go through the process, or even what they're experiencing. And a lot of times with trans populations, the negative comes out. We're being bullied, we're being taunted, we're being teased, we're being pushed, violence is inflicted upon us, and having to deal with that. And also the fears, the mental impact this has on our population of being scared to do something or scared to go anywhere. And I remember before I really transitioned into living as a woman 24/7, I was more androgynous. And before going into a store, I would have to take a deep breath before I walked in, like, okay, what's going to happen to me? So having just that mentality of feeling what's going to happen to me or what are they going to do to me really does affect what your decisions are also affects how you want to proceed in life and also affects anything that you do in life, especially for youth. So if these things are going on with youth and they're being bullied or they're being pushed around or they're being beat up or they're being jumped, they're being told they're ugly and they're gross, all these negatives happen for a long time, and they start to believe that, and then that affects the mentality, and schoolwork is affected.
And it just leads to so many negative things. And I'm interested, too, in our tribal communities, and Maddie, earlier you mentioned maybe even a town hall discussion of people who are talking about this. Has that come into play in your own tribal community, making sure that you understand all your community members, including those who are transgender and what they face, and maybe even moving our communities to a point of more understanding? And some people might even say taking it back to tradition. 1-800-996-2848 is the number to join us. We look forward to your call. Let's go ahead and take one. We're going to say hi to Steve in Anchorage, Alaska, listening on KNBA. Steve, thank you for giving us a ring. And go ahead, you're on air.
Well, thank you. And I just wanted to say that if I understand my history right, or the history I've read, a lot of North American groups of people, tribes, have celebrated transgenderism, if you will. And a lot of the reasoning, if I understand right, also is that they had their own unique attributes and able to give their communities something that otherwise I guess they felt they would not get. And I have a couple of more bullet points, and I think that I was remember talking in 2003 in Dutch Harbor to someone that was one of the native North American tribes, and they talked in terms of like their ways, which I knew that it was their religion. They were their ancestors or ancestors. The people before them, I guess, they were converted over to another religion by a lot of times force, and now it's just imbued in their life. Now they have almost forgotten their native, community ways, if you will.
Sure, and Steve, I think you bring up a really good point in getting to that of how this has been woven into our histories and maybe even removed because of contact. Steve, thank you for your call there in Anchorage. Maddie, anything you want to say?
Yes, that's called colonization. and really looking at this, how do we decolonize that within our populations or what we're talking about? And a lot of history, and even in the 1880s, there has been research done on Native LGBT people within the community who were looked up to and revered or even respected within communities. And from what I know and from what I was told within our groups is that we have certain roles that we do, and we automatically go into those roles. I kind of see it when I go back to ceremony back home, where I do see Native LGBT people at ceremonies cooking alongside their family or alongside others, participating in ceremonies where they're accepted, and also looking at the acceptance within families. My mom is very accepting. She loves me unconditionally. And my dad, he's been gone for 12 years and wasn't really accepting. But looking at the history and how we are part of the community, I remember some elders who I used to work with. I used to work in a nursing home. And I remember this one elderly used to run her fingers through my hair. And it was long. I asked her one time why she did that. And she said that it brings good luck for a person like you. And it, like, really made me feel good to know that she was doing that to my hair, and for her to want good luck for me was a good feeling. And I know in research, looking at the different aspects within communities or tribal communities, I know there's a painting that was done. They call it the Dance of the Bardash. Even though we don't use Bardash in our trainings anymore because of a negative context, that there was a painting where a person they were vying for their affections from the male community. So I think a lot more research needs to be done and presented to our communities, and that could be part of the education that I'm talking about on how we look at our communities. And Steve is right about how religion plays a big factor in what we have to experience, because we're looking at a lot more of Western context and Western views, and not really concentrating on our traditional context and values that we've had within our tribal communities.
All right, thank you for that. And folks, weigh in, give your thoughts. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Maddie, we're going to say hi to another guest. We are going to go now to Norman, Oklahoma, to say hello to Sage Runs Above. She's the current Miss International Two-Spirit. She's enrolled in the Absentee Shawnee Tribe of Oklahoma. She is also Ponca, Oto, and Sioux. It's our pleasure to welcome Sage to the hour. Sage, thank you for being with us.
Hello, ladies.
Hello. And Sage, any thoughts so far on what you've heard and anything you'd like to take us directly to?
Yes, I just wanted to touch on getting back to the communities and talking to our communities here. As soon as I had won Miss International, I wanted to use my platform in many different ways, and a lot is to advocate for our trans community. And I have been invited to a lot of the colleges here, and I've been invited to be on to speak on panels, and the trans bathroom issue comes up a lot. And a lot of the times when I speak on my personal issues, it opens up eyes to a lot of people because they don't focus on it because it doesn't happen to them. And a lot of the times I share a story of most of the time I do feel comfortable going to the female restroom, but there are living in Oklahoma, living in a Bible Belt state, they do not allow trans girls. And most of the facilities that I work at or that I go and visit, they know who I am and they're comfortable with me. But if I go into a facility that I'm not knowing of, then I will go to a male's restroom because it is frowned upon and I don't want to be shamed out. And a lot of the times, whether I'm going into a female restroom or a male restroom, it's very perverted. It's a perverted feeling because I will have either a female or a male, whoever will follow me or that will be in the restroom when I enter, they will come and check and make sure and watch me when I'm using the restroom. And it's very uncomfortable. And more so in the male restroom, the males like to do sexual gestures, and they want to make it a sexual thing. And so it's very uncomfortable in these days and ages. And that shouldn't be a feeling in anybody's everyday life. And it's a fear. And I'm a part of a trans support group here in Oklahoma City, the Oklahoma City Transcendence Group. And I had shared with them that I was going to be talking to the radio station, and they had shared views of how they actually hold, a lot of them are so uncomfortable that they will hold their bowel movements. They will not go to the restroom, and it's causing them health issues because they're in fear of having to go to the restroom. So with that, I do go within my communities wherever I am invited to speak as in Miss International. I do speak on our two-spirit issues and our trans issues, and it's very eye-opening to a lot of the people that just aren't aware of it or just have closed minds, because a lot of the times at the colleges, you have a lot of these kids that are from little communities and they have never met a trans person or a gay person in their life, because a lot of the communities out here, nobody is out. So for them to see me in a college level on a panel living my out life, it was a shock to them. And I get most of the time I get positive feedback because they want to support, but there's also those that, because of religion, they can't force themselves to see compassion, or they can't feel sorry for us because they say it's our choice of how we live.
And Sage, it sounds like what you're explaining, there's a lot of judging going on. And just hearing what you explained, you know, folks, imagine that. You go, it's time to go to the bathroom. And as we heard from Sage, you're kind of deciding, okay, which kind of reaction do I want to deal with today? And all this just because you want to go to the bathroom. Give us a call. What do you think about that? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And Sage, a lot of this is also just reacting to how other people feel uncomfortable with you entering either the men's or the women's bathroom. What do you think about that? Title IX was used to talk about allowing trans students to go to whatever bathroom they felt comfortable with based on sex discrimination. Is how that all came about. What do you think about that, Sage, that a lot of this comes from how other people are feeling uncomfortable? I didn't hear, you going in there saying that, you know, I'm intending to make anybody feel uncomfortable. You're going in there to use the bathroom. Sage, go ahead.
My views, like, I would rather go wherever I feel most comfortable. I usually look at facilities that have a gender neutral bathroom to where it's neither male or female. But most of the time, I'm a very tall girl, so I really don't try to make decisions on how I'm going to feel. It's just like, I need to go now. And it's just like, whichever one. So I really don't try to base it on whatnot. But safety is a big factor at all times. But how I feel on the issue, it was great at the time. It was a good thought for that to be passed. But the reality of living of where I'm at in Oklahoma, it hasn't changed, and it's not going to change. We've got a very long way to go. And even at our tribal ceremonies and our tribal facilities, our governments, they're not even looking into these issues yet. They have not addressed it. It has not been brought up. And so no matter how I think or no matter how I feel, it's the life that I have to live every day is what I'm having to deal with. No matter how great I feel that it is, it got passed with the law, it's still a living everyday fear of, you know, am I going to get beat up? Am I going to get sexual passes in the restroom? Is this female going to really watch me use the restroom right now to make sure I'm sitting down or standing up? And as a lady, I do not stand up. So most of the time in the female restrooms, when I do sit down, the females will sit there. They'll peek to see if I'm sitting down. If I'm sitting down, then they'll walk off. But they just want to make sure I'm not standing up using the toilet.
Wow, that's disturbing. You know, why would anybody treat people that way? Folks, anything you want to share, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. After the break, we're also going to talk about a tribal community who did take a stance on this. If you'd like to join us, give us a call. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And if you can't get to the phone and you want to send us a tweet instead, please do. We're at 1-800-99-NATIVE. We look forward to hearing your thoughts on this. And what about taking this to our tribal communities? Give us a call. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We do look forward to your call, and phone lines are open right now. On the next Native America Calling, we'll get an update on where the Dakota Access Pipeline fight stands in the courts. We'll also talk with some young people who say their time at Standing Rock changed their lives, and they hope to bring that momentum to new causes. We hope you'll join us.
I'm Christy. I'm a truck driver, and I'm on the road a lot. I used to pass the time in my truck smoking cigarettes, but then I got that smoker's cough, and I had severe shortness of breath, and I knew I had to quit. First, I tried e-cigarettes as a way to cut back. I thought cutting down might be enough. And while I smoked less, I never did stop smoking regular cigarettes completely. But then, my lung collapsed, and the doctors had to glue my lung to my chest to keep it from collapsing again. I was only 33 years old. That's when I really quit smoking. Now when I'm on the road, I pass the time eating sunflower seeds. My tip is, if you don't want to have your chest cut open, don't just cut down on cigarettes. Quit completely.
Smoking even a few cigarettes a day is dangerous. You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Welcome back. You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo. Last spring, Fort Peck Indian Reservation passed a motion requiring transgender people to use the restroom that corresponds with their gender at birth. They're the one tribe we came across that has taken an official position on the transgender bathroom debate. What do you think about this? Give us a call and join our conversation. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Also in Native America, what other hurdles do transgender people face? What about transgender youth? 1-800-996-2848 is the number to join us. And with us today from Norman, Oklahoma, it's Sage Runs Above. She's the current Miss International Two-Spirit. She's also enrolled in the Absentee Shawnee Tribe of Oklahoma. She's also Ponca, Oto, and Sioux. It's our pleasure to have her here with us. Also in Washington, D.C., just visiting, is Maddie Jim. She's an HIV Prevention and Support Coordinator for the First Nations Community Health Source. And she's also a board member of the Transgender Resource Center of New Mexico. She is Dene. And it's our pleasure to have both of these two ladies here with us on the line. And Maddie, I want to turn to you. We mentioned the motion that was passed in Fort Peck. Sounds like, you know, this tribe wanted to weigh in on the debate over bathrooms. What's your thought? What's your response? Start us off, Maddie.
It was disheartening to hear. Because it does affect us as trans populations to be told you need to go use the restroom that you were assigned sex at birth, and for me personally, it's kind of hard to swallow because I'll be forced to use a men's restroom because I'm assigned sex at birth male, and having to do that. And I mentioned the violence that could happen, and also Sage mentioned the sexual aggressiveness of men in the restrooms could happen. So for me, it's the safety, and I think it was done hastily with the decision. And I'm not from that tribe, and I don't know if anybody was involved, or even if they involved trans populations from the tribe to look at this, or to even say how do we look at this issue, and how are our trans tribal members going to be impacted by this? And I guarantee that it was done by people who were not transgender. And I think that's the type of like you mentioned, judgment that we face in public or in society in general of how we're looked at. So I think just the things that they heard within our population, I think they thought about that and just made that decision to do that, thinking it was safety for the tribal members. But trans tribal members are also tribal members. So how are they keeping them safe, and how are they including them in their tribal communities? And I think in every tribal community, we have to look at that. How are we including our tribal communities, and how are we going to protect our tribal community? And we are members. We are members of an enrolled tribal communities, and how do we keep protected within our tribal communities if they're going to enact something that is not going to keep us safe, is not going to be inclusive, or not going to be looking out for the best interests of us?
Sure. And we did reach out to the tribe to join us on this program to talk about it. Our request was not returned, but if there's anybody who's listening now who'd like to chime in, give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Let's take another call. We have Glenn in Browns Valley, Minnesota, tuned in online. Glenn, thank you for giving us a ring. And what would you like to add?
Well, I'm not very educated, but I'd like to get in on this call here. You know, when I was growing up, we, before boarding school days, we had outhouses, and you know, we whenever anybody was using the outhouse, you know, we didn't all flock to their outhouse. We just wait till whoever was in there would finish, regardless. And so we didn't really pay attention to, though we knew and recognized there was males that appeared girlish and females that appeared boys. So that wasn't no problem. And then when we went to boarding schools, then they had these multi bathrooms, and so I could see today what the problem is with these multi bathrooms, where if you had a single restrooms like you do in some places of business, then I don't think we'd have this argument of whether they need to go to one room or the other.
All right. Glenn, thank you for your call there in Browns Valley. Again, you can join us. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Sage, anything to share with our caller?
I think that's a great idea. And in a lot of other nations outside of the U.S., they have unisex bathrooms, but where it, you can be set next to a female or a male. You don't know who you're sitting. It's just a restroom, and it's designed just for that. And they have no other problems. I'm sure you do run into problems where there's someone that finds each other attractive, but there's other nations that are doing this. And I agree with him. If we have just one single bathroom, which it eliminates a lot of that discussion. It eliminates anything because, honestly, if you have one bathroom, one stall, then, yes, they're going to have to wait. You wait in line, and there's no discussion. There's no, oh, well, there's a guy in front of me or there's a girl in front of me. You don't have that mentality. But when you have one that is assigned to that, this is where we run into our problems a lot of times. And I totally agree with the caller. I feel if we went back to that, that would be cool. But I feel like this isn't the first time we've seen this. We've seen this in a different form when we had colored restrooms. And I think this, too, will pass. But we also need strong leaders in our trans community, in our two-spirit community, in our communities all around to stand up and share our stories. Tell the people, you know, this is what's going on, because a lot of people are unaware. They are only voting on what they are hearing and why we should have these bathrooms or why we should be assigned to specific bathrooms, because they're only going by what the government is saying. And we don't have enough leaders, or we don't have enough trans people speaking out on these issues for them to hear. So.
And Sage, when we look at this, I'm also seeing when you read the reports and you read why people are pushing back on Obama's stance on this and saying that it's violating a state's rights, that the federal government shouldn't be coming in and meddling where the state should have a say. What do you think about that entering this conversation? What do you read into that, Sage?
Going back to where I'm from here in Oklahoma, Oklahoma does not follow a lot of the federal laws. They pretty much do their own state laws. And Oklahoma here, we have no protection for our LGBT community here. And so a lot of the times, you know, we can put a bill in to get passed, but it gets shot down 100% a lot of the time here. So a lot of the times it's very disheartening to hear it, but that's the sad truth that we live in. And a lot of the times, you know, I tried to go to these other states where I get to visit Agnes International and really push for these people to fight for our rights, because here in Oklahoma, no matter how hard we have tried, it has been shot down. And our state government here, they are so against our LGBTQ. And we've recently, I don't know how this happened, but we recently had the gay marriage law pass. That was a one in a million shot, but it did pass And I know things will progress eventually, but like I said, we need more people to stand up and share these stories, good or bad. And so, and there is a lot of people that, you know, they do go into these restrooms, and a lot of our trans, they do pass as a female or as a male, but they feel for our others that don't pass, and they get ridiculed. So there are good stories out there, but there is so many more bad that outweigh the good. So,
all right. Thank you for that. And folks, if you want to join us, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And Sage, this conversation began talking about this being on the table and young people having to face this and among their peers. And of course, we know young people face a lot when they're going to school. And when you add this to the mix, is there anything you'd like to share about just bringing more awareness to transgender issues that our young people are facing, especially, you know, in the hallways, or anything else you want to share? Go ahead, Sage.
Yes. One of the mentors of our transcendence group, Andrew Bentley, had shared with us, he is a student working on his master's in social work, and he works with adolescent populations in the mental health field. And he wanted to bring it a point that he said, we now know that an overabundance of stress hormones for prolonged periods of time had the same effect on the brain as drugs and alcohol. Trans kids are already under a lot of stress, and increasing that stress is only going to increase the likelihood of atypical neural development, decreasing executive functions such as emotional control, and increasing incidence of mental illness.
What do you think about that, Sage?
I find that to be highly true, because there's so much stress on kids already. There's so much bullying in schools. And just even as a kid living as a gay boy growing up, it was very stressing. Like, I experienced more of the holding of my going to the restroom when I was a kid, because I was scared of being bullied or being pushed around or beat up when I was little. And so having to go through these, and like in this day and age, we have so many younger trans kids coming out in our grade school, their grade school years. And it's wonderful to see, because they feel protected. They feel more, they feel like they can come out at a younger age. But when these laws get put back into it, I think it's going to cause a lot of depression. It's going to cause an increase in suicide, because a lot of the times, you know, these kids, they feel so alone. And when you're pushing these laws and they feel like they can come out, but now they have to go to the restroom and they're transitioning as a little girl to a boy or a boy to a girl, it's very discouraging to want to do anything. And I fear for them. I fear for our future. But all in all, I do think this will pass. It's just going to take a lot of work, and someone's got to step up for it.
All right. Thank you for that. Sage Runs Above is with us today. If you'd like to talk to her, you can give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And maybe you're one of the parents that we're talking about, a parent of a transgender student. What do you think about this debate in your child's school? Has it come about? What kind of decisions has been made? Give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And a lot of this came about, some of the pushback when this hit the, I guess, the media, and people started talking about it. Pushback was that if we start allowing transgender people to go into different bathrooms, especially for our young people, some of the pushback is potential sex predators or pedophiles. When you hear this kind of argument, Maddie, what do you think?
That's absurd. Statistically, if you look back at all the years that trans people have been using the restroom, there has not been one incident where that's happened. It shows that we go into the restroom just to use the restroom and get out. Statistically, more of people who participate in pedophilia are cisgender heterosexual men. And it's been proven statistically that's what it is. And a lot of people use that mind frame of thinking that we go into the restroom just to peek in the holes, or we're going there to touch somebody or to molest somebody, and that's not the case. And a lot of our trans populations have to go through that fear, and also thinking about that also before you go into the restroom, like, what are people going to think of me? What are people going to say about me? And Sage mentioned that of having that fear. And with this, with bathrooms, when we do our education, we talk about making single occupancy restrooms, gender neutral restrooms, or just call them restrooms. And for multi stalled restrooms, I think that's still part of that equality of wanting to go to use the restroom that you want to. And there is a lot of stuff that is a lot of bad stuff that's being said about our community that other people use in arguments. But when it comes down to us who are trans people, who are of the trans population, or even gender nonconforming or gender variant people, we look at that and just shake our heads and like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. This is absurd. Why are they still saying this about us? Why do they think about us in this sense? And it's hurtful. And it adds on to the stress that we just talked about, like that Sage just mentioned that she read. It adds to that stress. And not just with youth, but also still as adults, it's part of that stress.
Well, there's a lot to talk about. We want you to talk about it with us. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Ladies, we're going to take a call. Well, you're going to hear from Anita in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Anita, thank you for your call. Go ahead. You're on air.
Hi, good morning. I had difficulty listening to these last few seconds, so I'm not sure what was just said, but I want to share my experiences of working at a high school in Albuquerque, where we had a student who transitioned after she started with us at the beginning of the year. And I was so happy and so proud to see that there were no incidents to make her feel unsafe, to make her feel unwelcome. I am not even aware of which bathroom that she was using, which shows to me that it was taken up privately with her and her family, and there was never a student saying anything unkind towards her in my presence. I think that the culture of the school was such that people could not share that type of thing in public. I don't know what was said in private, of course. And I also wanted to share that the same year, we went to Acoma Pueblo, and one of the tour guides was a two-spirit, was transgender. My students could not tell what gender our tour guide was, and their curiosity was just so sweet to see as they talked about it. So I believe that the new generation coming up is going to feel differently about these issues, and I commend all of the warriors out there on this and all of their allies, and right. I think it's going to change for the better.
Anita, thank you for your call in Albuquerque. We're going to go to Wombly, South Dakota now to hear from Mary, who is tuned in on KILI Kiwi Radio. Mary, thank you for your call. Go ahead. You're on air.
Hello, this is Marian Whitemoss. I'm calling from Wombly, South Dakota. And I really want to commend you guys for this topic, because I think it's a really great topic. I have a son that's transgender, and we learn to accept people the way they are. And in our culture, they always tell us that our transgender children are sacred children, and knowing that and growing up with that, you know, the definition of Winkte, I have a lot of respect for a lot of the children that are grown that way, and I really commend them, and I really wish that they would accept themselves for the way they are, because some of us that have the great, you know, the great background of understanding of our cultural ways, then I even commend the elders that share these things, because a lot of the people nowadays, they think that it's a taboo thing to not accept children the way they are. But then, you know, God created all people, and all people should be proud of who they are, no matter how they are, because, you know, it was not their choice. It was just in their genes that, you know, that they should be this way. And learning to accept oneself the way they are is probably the first step. Because my son, you always told us, you know, I didn't think that you would accept me if I ever came out, because he said he felt these feelings since he was just a small child. And we, you know, me myself, I always knew in my heart that how he was, but then he wasn't able to accept himself the way he was. And then when he had to go to treatment. And then when he went to treatment, then he came home and he started dressing like a girl.
And Mary, I'm glad you were there to support him. And a lot of times, you know, we don't get to hear from our young people because they don't feel they have people they can talk to. And just hearing your words today, Mary, we do appreciate it. Thank you for your call there in Wombly, South Dakota. We got one more caller we're going to bring in. We're going to say hi to Kathy in Albuquerque, who is listening on KUNM here in New Mexico. Kathy, go ahead. You're on air.
Hello. Thank you. First thing I want to say is thank you, Sage, and the others for being strong and courageous and being open. That helps build the bridges of empathy and understanding when you put a face and a name to an issue that you don't understand and that you're taught to hate. You bring love to the issue. And I am not Native. I'm most likely a little mixed because I was born in the Americas. And one story of first man and first woman that I've read, I don't know if it's accurate, is that the creator made first man and woman, and they were actually two-spirited people. And then he went on to create separate gender.
Yeah, Kathy, I thank you for sharing that. And folks, maybe you've heard of this. You want to tell us more about it. We are getting close to the end of the hour. You can always reach out to us by sending us an email, comments@nativeamericacalling.com. Thanks for your call, Kathy. And we are getting close to the end of the hour. Sage, is there anything else you'd like to share?
Yes, I just wanted to close with these people are so close-minded with the transgender issues. They're not thinking of it as the lasting effect on the public, because it doesn't just affect us. It affects the caretakers. It affects the parents. When you've got to take in a grandfather, say a granddaughter's taking care of a grandfather, she can't take him into the females because she will be going against the law. Then if this is passed, or say there's a mother trying to take her son into the restroom, she will be not abiding by the law. So we need to take in consideration that this just isn't as a transition or transgendered issue. It is an everyone issue. And if you stick to this type of way, it is going to affect everyone, not just our community.
All right. Thank you for that. Sage runs above. Also with us, Maddie Jim. Maddie, any final words you want to share?
I think just a couple of educational tips, like proper pronouns. With pronouns, asking the person what pronoun they use, like she, hers, him, they, those, the are some pronouns that people use. And also looking at gender identity, and I mentioned gender sexual orientation, that with even the definition of LGBT, that L, G and B are sexual orientation because of who you're attracted to. And for a trans person, it's identity. So a trans person can have a sexual orientation of either being heterosexual, gay, lesbian, or bisexual. So those are some of like the stuff that we teach. And I'm really happy that you guys covered this topic. I was a little hesitant at first to be a part of the call, but I'm so glad that I did, because we are doing the education out there. We are talking about our experiences and especially for trans youth to possibly hear this and know that there are leaders in the community, or there are people out in the community who are covering this topic or who are addressing these issues, that we need a lot more people out there. And Sage had some really good points about this not being just a trans issue or for trans population, but it's everybody's issue. Because we are five-fingered people, we are part of society, and we're going to continue to be a part of society, and things need to change, or we need to be included. A lot of times when we do advocacy work, there are even certain ethnicities that are left out, even in the trans population work that we do. So giving a voice to that and continue to do that, and I commend all our trans people out there who are educating, who are talking and speaking to our communities, doing events, doing workshops, being a part of coalitions, being a part of groups, being a part of events that help and give voice and visibility to our community. I think that's what is also needed to change a lot of the misconceptions within our community. And I'm an open book. If anybody needed to get a hold of me or wanted to ask questions, I'm an open book, and I can give information. And like I said, I'm based in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So if anybody wanted to do that, they can.
All right. Thank you for that. Maddie seemed like a very great resource. And folks, if there's still more you want to say, reach out to us. Send us an email. comments@nativeamericacalling.com. We're on Facebook, and our Twitter handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Thanks again to our guests, Maddie Jim and Sage Runs Above. Our executive producer is Art Hughes. Our senior producer is Monica Brain. Associate producer is Andy Murphy. Derek Toledo is our engineer. Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm your host and producer, Terry Gatewood. It has been a pleasure to spend this hour with you. We look forward to spending more with you as we continue the dialogue connected to our tribal nations. Thanks again. We'll be back tomorrow.
Bonjour. Anishinaabe gayansigwa mazanayigas jidabayigesigwa winanandawiandwa. Oda abba jitunawa mazanayigan nishwaswe jangaswe ningodwaswe nanan. Deba amawawa deba amazo wininiwan. Ganoj 1-800-318-2596 gema mawidishiwain healthcare.gov. Gaundinagadeg the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Miigwech.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.